Now, last week we started a series on Sunday nights called How to Build Your Own Personal Biblical Standards. And tonight I want to define that just a little bit. Personal biblical standards. If you remember from last week, standards are rules that we make for ourselves to help us please God with our lives. Don't let the word scare you. It's a good word. It's a word that is used all throughout business. It's used in everyday life, and I'm going to show you that this evening. So don't let the word standards scare you. They're rules we make for ourselves to help us please God with our lives. We're going to use Joseph as an example. He was sold into slavery, and while he was in slavery, he was put in charge of Potiphar's house, if you remember that. When I think of Potiphar, I think of potted meat. I'm not sure exactly sure why I have that connection right there, but he's put him in charge of Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife came and tempted him to be immoral. And chapter 39 and verse 9, you see Joseph's response. You see Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife said, come lay with me or lie with me. And here's what Joseph said. Genesis 39, verse 9, there's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back, talking about Potiphar, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Then look at the statement that he makes. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There are three parts of this statement that I want you to see, and we'll use that as our starting place for this evening. I gave you most of the Bible verses that I wanted to use for this introduction last week, so I'm not going to go back through all of that. I do want you to see this one. We'll use that as our starting point. You've got the words great wickedness there. Joseph had a personal standard. His standard was purity. He believed that to do otherwise was great wickedness. So he had a standard. His standard was personal. It wasn't just a rule for people in general. It was his rule. How can I do this great wickedness? My rule, my personal standard is I am not going to do this great wickedness. It was a standard. It was personal. And I believe it was biblical. Now, the law had not been given yet. But Joseph knew that it would be a sin against God. Before the law was even given, he said this would be a sin against God. Somehow, it was clear to Joseph this would be a sin against God. So here's the three words I want you to get for tonight. Personal biblical standards. Personal biblical standards. That's what I'm preaching tonight. I want to introduce that, and I want to define those just a little bit. Personal biblical standards are first standards. And again, don't let that word scare you. I hope it doesn't, and especially after tonight, I hope you look at it and say, that's a good thing, and that's exactly what I want in my life. So first of all, we're going to look at those three words tonight, personal biblical standards. First of all, personal biblical standards are standards. A standard is a marker. A standard is a measuring stick. A standard is a guideline. A standard is a rule. I have several standards up here tonight that I wanted you to see. This one's a 4-foot measuring stick. All right. It's also called a building square. I'm not sure. That's not a framing square. I'm not sure which kind of square that is. A drywall square. That's what we use it for. There's also a clock. This clock is not set right, so don't worry about the time. That'd be a bad thing to put a clock right here. Even a wrong clock or dead clock is right twice a day, right? And then you've got another standard. This is a calendar, all right? So these are all standards. These are good standards. We use them. We live by them. If I was to ask you to come up and measure something for me, and I was to say, here, I want you to use this measuring stick, but I want you to use the back of it without any lines. It's not going to do you much good. If you're going to have a ruler, you have to have lines. You have to have a standard, and they all have to be spaced the right distance apart. Oh, what good would a ruler be with no lines? How helpful would a clock be with no numbers? Can you picture the clock? And I know some watches don't have numbers on them because you always know that when you're wearing it on your wrist, the top is 12. But what if I was to take this clock and I was to get rid of all the numbers and I was to get rid of all the words on it and everything so that whatever way I turned it, you wouldn't know which way was up? Would it do us any good at all? Even if it was set right, it wouldn't do us any good because we wouldn't know which way's up. You need numbers. You need a standard, a calendar. without any dates on it would do us no good. A budget, we used that as an example last week. A budget needs a dollar amount or else it's useless. Let me give you an example of that, and we're going to use a budget as our example of a standard. A standard needs to be measurable. And I wrote the word measurable down here. I'm trying to help you understand. It's got to be something that's not just vague. It can't be something that's just kind of in the clouds somewhere. It's got to be something where I make some rules for myself. If you had a budget, and it was just kind of an abstract, let me give you this example. A wife says to her husband, as he's going out to go shopping, "Don't spend too much on junk food this week." And the husband says, "Okay, how much should I spend?" And the wife says, "Well, just not too much." And the husband says, "Okay." So he goes out and he goes shopping and he buys the extra large. You could switch this either way. I just didn't want my wife getting mad at me. The husband goes out and buys this extra large double stuffed Oreo package. He buys the family sized Doritos. He buys the beef jerky super pack and two cases of Starbucks in the glass bottles. And he buys it all at the gas station. And then he comes home and the wife sees everything that the husband bought, and she says, "I thought we agreed on a budget." And he said, "Yes, you said not to spend too much." "I didn't. Too much." If too much is the standard, you see how that's kind of vague? So a budget, we write down the numbers, or we say we've got this much money. You can put a number amount to that. That's for groceries, and this much money for gas for the week, this much money for a date, and this much money for whatever it is that you're spending money on, and you put a dollar amount with it. Because if you just say too much or not enough, and you don't put a dollar amount with it, you don't really have a standard. You really don't have a budget. A standard needs to be measurable. A standard needs to be based on a set of values. A standard alone can be either right or wrong. So I really believe that everybody's got some types of standards. Maybe somebody lives totally different than you. Don't ever look at how somebody lives and say, "Well, that person doesn't have any standards." That's not true. We all have some type of standards. The standard can be, well, I guess it could be true if somebody really does not, truly does not believe anything at all and just everything goes. I guess that could be true. But in most cases, it's not. A standard needs to be measurable. A standard needs to be set based on a set of values. The standard could be either right or wrong. Let me give you an example. Just having standards is not always good. I bought several videos for Christmas for my wife that had been approved for families by the Dove Foundation. Actually, I bought five. They were in a pack, five videos, and they were approved by the Dove Foundation for families. And I thought, well, this is going to be good. And we had to turn four out of five of them off within the first few minutes because of bad language on it. Here's what we realized. The Dove Foundation has a different set of standards than we do. I'm sure they got a set of standards, but it's just different than where we would draw the line. So just having standards is not always good. Just because I have a standard doesn't mean it's biblical. Remember, there's three words we're going to look at. Personal, biblical, standards. Just because I have a standard doesn't mean it's biblical. It could be a good standard, or it could be a bad standard, but it may not be biblical. I can make a standard for myself. And when it comes to tithing, let's use that as an example. We use tithing as an example this morning. It's the beginning of the year. It's a great time to use tithing as an example, right? If I make a standard for myself that is exactly what God requires when it comes to tithing, and I'd call it paying tithe. You can call it giving tithe if you want to. It belongs to God. If I was to make my standard exactly where my rule for myself, exactly where God said to give or to tithe, what would my standard be? It would be 10%. That's what a tithe means. The word tithe means tenth. And so if I was to make my standard exactly right where God said to tithe that, then I would give 10%. I can make my standard exactly where God requires. I can make my standard for myself that's more strict than God requires. I can give, and I can make a rule for myself that I will give 20% of all of my increase. And I can say that is my standard for myself. That's okay. I'm not making anybody else do that, but it's a rule for myself. And I just decide I'm going to make this rule for myself. This is my standard. Now, that's not a bad standard, but it's not what the Bible says I have to do. You see what I'm talking about? So I can say 10% is my standard. I can say 20% is my standard. I can say 5% is my standard. My standard for giving to God is 5%. Now, is that a biblical standard? No. It's not. It's just as unbiblical as the 20% is. When I say unbiblical, I'm not saying sinful. I'm just saying the Bible doesn't say I have to give 20, but the Bible does say I'm supposed to give 10. Do you see what I'm saying? So just because I have a standard doesn't mean that it's based on the Bible. And I know, as we begin teaching this, here's our title: How to Build Your Own Personal Biblical Standards. And if we base our standards on the Bible, we can live in a way that is pleasing to God. That's our goal. God created us to please Him. If you remember from last week, a standard on its own is simply an abstract rule unless it's based on a set of values. Let me give you an example, and you may know where I'm going with this, but have you ever heard of fiat money? Have you ever heard of fiat money? Okay, so a fiat is a little car, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about, the little fiat car? All right. How many of you know if I was to say that's fiat money, what I'm talking about? Let me explain it to you. It's actually a very simple thing. The word fiat means let it be done. All right, let it be done. So a king, maybe in the old times, could declare a new law with no historical precedent or moral reason and just say, let it be done. And because he's the king, he can say, this is what I want to be done. Whether it's right or wrong, he just says, let it be done. And there's no basis for it. There's no historical precedent for it. Because he's the king, he can do that. Do you remember Darius? Maybe you call him Darius, all right? From Daniel. All right, let's take a quick vote. Darius, all right? Darius? All right, so I'm going to go Darius. I'm going popular opinion. That's where I'm going to set my standard tonight. All right, Darius, in the book of Daniel. Do you remember those bad guys came to him and said, King, we want to convince you to change the law. And he did. King Darius made a proclamation, and he signed the law. It was the law of the Medes and the Persians, which means it couldn't be changed, that for 30 days, nobody could pray to anybody but him. A law, a baseless law, no historical precedent, no reason for it. But the king said it, so we've got to do it. It's based on nothing. It's just what the king said. Let it be done, or fiat. The only reason it was done was because the king said to do it. Now, when the United States left the gold standard for the dollar became fiat money. There's no basis. You can't take your dollar bill into the bank and say, can I have a dollar's worth of gold? The dollar bill always changes value now because it's not based on a solid standard. We won't argue the rightness or wrongness of that, but just understand, and some people would argue that it's not fiat money. I'm just trying to give you an example. Something that we do that's not based on something solid. I want to challenge you to base your standards, the way you live, the rules that you decide to live your life by, base it on something. Not just on what you feel like, and not what everybody else does, but base it on something solid. Standards need to have be based on a set of values. Standards need to have foundational principles. And then standards need to belong to someone. I'm going to show you an example of this is an example. It's the standards of business conduct for McDonald's. Right on the front of this page, it's telling us what it is. It's standards, okay? Now, I usually don't care what the McDonald's standards are because I don't work there. Now, if I did work there, I would care more. Now, I do care whenever I choose to eat there that they have standards. And it's a good thing that they have standards. I don't choose to eat there very often. I try not to if I can help it, except for the French fries, because I love McDonald's French fries. You have a hard time beating those. Now, McDonald's standards, they could be good or they can be bad. That's not the issue, but they're not my standards. If I worked there, there would be my standards. I'd have to go by them. But by the way, just looking through this, you've got this booklet called The Standards of Business Conduct. Isn't it interesting that a business can have standards, but as Christians, sometimes we kind of push back against, I don't want any standards. Well, even businesses have standards. McDonald's has standards. When you get to the front page, you've got this quote by Ray Kroc: the basis for our entire business is that we are ethical, truthful, and dependable. And he goes on to talk about their ethical program. Before you can even get into the booklet about standards, you get to McDonald's values. Here's what they did. They based their standards, this whole book, on their values. That's what you're supposed to do. If you're going to have standards that aren't just abstract, they've got to be based on some type of values. They may not be your values, they may not be your standards, but they are based on some values. Let me just read this opening letter from the CEO of McDonald's, Steve Easterbrook. Dear McDonald's colleague, it's our privilege and responsibility to be stewards of one of the world's greatest brands. As we grow our business, we must always honor the trust our customers and many other stakeholders have placed in McDonald's. This means doing the right thing. That's what we've done for over 60 years, and we will continue to hold ourselves accountable to the highest standards. What does that mean? We're going to make rules for our company so that rules, practical rules, so that we can live out our values. The next line he said, we recognize that today we are competing and adapting during a time of rapid change. Oh, that sure describes us, doesn't it? We are living in a time of rapid change. And even McDonald's understands that we need to have standards. But here's the point. These aren't my standards. I'm glad they have standards, but they're not my standards. I don't have to go by the rules in this book. Now, if I chose to go by the rules in this book and I made them my standards, that's fine. And it would be based on probably some decent values because it's a good company. But they're not my standards. If it's going to be my standards, they need to be personal, biblical standards. If you were to visit the Bernalillo County Metropolitan Detention Center, we call it the BCMDC, or JEL, I want you to understand that they have a set of standards if you're visiting. But if you're not visiting, those standards don't apply to you. If you're playing Monopoly and you have you have to go to jail, and there's a difference between go to jail and visiting in jail. You understand what I'm saying? If you were to visit jail, there's some standards you have to go by. Let me just read these to you because I think you'd appreciate it. The visitor's dress code. It's appropriate dress for male and female visitors 12 years of age and older. This is to visit the detention center. Revealing sheer or see-through clothing is not allowed. Shorts or miniskirts are not allowed. Men's, boys, and shorts below the knee are acceptable. Sleeveless or low-cut shirts are not allowed. It's like they're, you know, for the choir or something. Dresses and capri pants must be below the knee when in a seated position. Some type of footwear must be worn by the visitor at all times. Hats, bandanas, and scarves are not allowed. So here's the idea. Even the detention center, the jail, has standards. Now, they're not my standards. If I go visit somebody in the jail, and I have done that, then I've got to abide by these particular standards. And they do become my standards while I'm there. I've got to go by them. But they're not the standards that I have chosen to live by. Here's what happens. A standard has to be, first, a standard, something measurable, something real. It needs to be personal, and it needs to be biblical if it's going to be a personal biblical standard. All right, hope you're getting the idea here. Standards need to be measurable. They need to belong to someone, and standards need to have a foundational principle. Let's talk about personal. Personal biblical standards are first standards. You've got to have guidelines for yourself as you go through this life. Second, personal biblical standards are personal. These are the rules that I make for myself. They apply to me. In my culture, in my time, they've got to be personal. And I want to challenge you, and this is where we're going with all of this. I want to challenge you to look at the Bible and from the principles of God's Word, be able to say, here are the rules I want to make for myself, in my time, in my place, for who I am. I need something that applies to me. All right, so let's talk about making standards personal. If I wanted to make a budget for myself, I could go online and find a sample budget. How many you've ever done that? You've gone online and you've looked at a sample budget. I've done that. I've not really used the ones that I've seen online, but you get some ideas on some. Dave Ramsey's got all that kind of stuff, you know, on his website. You can go and you can see sample budgets and that type of thing. In fact, they've got a budget app that you could use. But if I went online and find a sample budget, how well would it work if the sample budget I downloaded was for a teenage girl living in 1935 in Poland? You see where I'm going? Now, if I'm making some rules for myself, I need to make it apply to me. It's got to be personal standards. I need a budget for me in my time where I live. And you live now. So don't try to live in the past, because you don't. What I'm about to say, you may think, oh, he doesn't really believe in high standards. No, I do. But I believe they ought to be biblical. And I believe they ought to be personal. So what I want to do is maybe pull away some of the extras and some of the chaff or some of the fluff and then let's rebuild our personal biblical standards based on the Bible. They need to be personal, they need to be biblical, and they need to be standards, all right? So don't try to live in the past. Standards can be carried forward from the past, and that's often a good thing, but just because they're from the past doesn't mean they're right. It doesn't mean they're wrong. They need to be based on values. They need to be based on something for real. They need to be based on, in our case, the Bible. If I was just to carry a standard, which is a rule from the past, and apply it to me now, I'd find myself getting in trouble. Just because something was done in the past doesn't mean it's something we need to do now. On the other side of that, just because they didn't do it in the past doesn't mean we need to do it different now, because we don't need to change things for the sake of changing, but just because it comes from the past doesn't mean that it's right or wrong. Are you with me here? You understand? Okay, so in Connecticut, a pickle cannot be sold unless it bounces, and that's a law. See, there were some people came in, and they were selling some low-quality pickles. So the state regulator, somewhere way back, they made the law that if you drop a pickle, it has to bounce a certain height. That's really a law. So for me to say, well, that's a law from the past, so I need to adapt that into my life because it's an old law, that doesn't make any sense. That's not a personal biblical standard. It's just based on something that happened in the past. In Gainesville, Georgia, it's illegal to eat fried chicken with anything other than your fingers. It's illegal to use a fork. Now, they really did make the law in Gainesville, Georgia. They figured this, since it's the home of fried chicken, we ought to eat it with our fingers. And I think it was a publicity thing that they did, but they're trying to just, and they made, it's really a law. I don't know if they keep the law or enforce the law, but that's the law. That would be silly to say, okay, so that's a law from the past, so let's do it. Just because it's from the past doesn't mean it's right for us to do. In Waynesboro, Virginia, it's against the law for a woman to drive a car in Main Street unless her husband is standing in front of the car waving a red flag. Can you picture this? It's okay for her to drive the car, but her husband's got to be waving the red flag. Now, I'm not even going to comment on that except to say, if we were to bring that from the past and say, this is what we need to do because it was a law in the past, and since it's from the past, it's got to be good. That's not the way we need to think. We need personal standards for now. Now, I'm not saying we compromise and change just because we live in the 21st century. I'm saying let's get into the Bible, find out what the Bible says, and do what the Bible says and apply it to me now. Are you following me with this? I hope you are. Dressing like we're from the 1950s doesn't mean that we have biblical dress standards. Now listen to this. Dress standards were generally closer to biblical principles before the 1970s and the sexual revolution and all that. They were generally closer to what the Bible would teach. But a time period doesn't determine whether something's biblical or not. I can't go back to a certain time and say, because this is what they were in this time, so if I go back further, does it make it more biblical? No. Now, they may have been closer to biblical principles in general back then because we had a population that was more biblically literate. They would read their Bibles. They would go to church. A lot of things were different back then. So I could probably be safer, but that doesn't mean it's right. Do you see what I'm saying? If I'm basing my standards on a certain time period, that doesn't make it right. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to create frustration because it's not based on a solid set of values, the Bible. If we can base our standards, what we do, the rules we make for living, on something solid, which is the Word of God, it's going to alleviate a lot of confusion and a lot of problems. Having dress standards isn't about living in the past. We'll talk about dress standards as we go forward, but not tonight. Listening to music from the 1940s doesn't mean we have biblical standards of music. Music has changed drastically. I probably don't need to prove this to you, but let me give you some titles, the top hits in 1940. Ready? Piano Concerto in B-flat. I mean, this is what people were listening to, and they wanted to. The Chattanooga Choo Choo, White Christmas, I'm Looking Over a Four-Leaf Clover, Ghost Riders in the Sky, and All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Those were the top hits. I mean, not on the Disney Channel. Those were the top hits that everybody was listening to. It was just popular. I can't even tell you the titles from the pulpit from the last 10 years. I mean, some of them I could, but most of them I'd left to say, no, I can't say that publicly. That's how bad music has got. So sometimes we'd say, well, let's go back in time and let's make that our standard. That may be better, but is that what we need to base our standards on? It shouldn't be based on a time period. It needs to be based on the Word of God. You live now. Don't try to live in the past. You need rules for now. It's great to plan for the future also. I'm not saying since you live now, don't live in the past, and don't plan for the future. That's not what we're trying to get at here. Sometimes you do need to plan for the future. In fact, we need to plan for the future, but don't try to live in the future now with your standards. Let me give you an example here. You ought to know what your standards are for a new stage of life before you step into that new stage. But don't try to live there until you get there. I'm just going to spend just a moment on this because I don't want you to say, well, we're just supposed to live for now and not plan for the future. No, let's plan for the future. But let me give you an example here. If you're a teenager living at home, some of the rules that you will make for yourself as an adult living on your own don't apply to you yet. Right? So don't say, well, I'm planning for the future, so I'm going to start living by, I'm going to set some rules, set some standards for myself, I'm going to start living by those. Well, you can't yet. They don't apply to you yet, but it's okay to learn so that when you get there, you can make those changes, you can make those adaptations. Now, the Bible doesn't change, the truth doesn't change, the principles don't change, but our life changes, our situations change. So, we don't dump the Bible and go looking out for some other place to get our standards from. We look at the Bible and say, how does that apply to me now? How do I need to adapt things now? Hopefully I can illustrate that here in just a moment. Your two biggest challenges as a teenager right now are obey God and obey your parents. Don't try to live in the future. You live now. You need rules for now. All right, so we're talking about making this personal. Personal biblical standards. I need rules for now. I need rules that are going to apply to me. Not just in theory to a group somewhere, but we say this all the time. The Bible's got everything you need to live. I believe that. So I need to go into the Bible and find the rules for me, my personal standards for now. How am I going to live today? Not only do you live now, but you live here. Okay, this is deep tonight. You live here. Don't worry about what people are doing on the other side of the globe. You need rules for here. Now, the reason I mentioned this is because as soon as we start talking about dress standards, a lot of times people are going to say, but what about the people, you know, well, think with me just for a moment. I need personal standards for now, and I need personal standards for here. You need rules for here. But if you move to Saudi Arabia or Pakistan, you'll need to consider that the men wear robes and turbans. And many of the women wear a hijab. I don't even know how to say it. Hijab. I think, you know, not a whole lot of space to see. You might be thinking, well, Pastor Reyes, if we study about standards, we're probably going to be talking about clothing. In the Middle East, men and women both wear robes. So there. Well, yeah, Arabic Christians in Dubai may have to come up with different personal standards than you will. But whatever standards you make for yourself, they need to be something that you can use where you live, and they need to be in line with the Bible. All right, you live here, you need rules for here. You live now, you live here, and I shouldn't need to say this, but I think we do in our culture because we're so weirded out in some areas. You live for real, all right? Don't worry about all the hypothetical situations. But what if, let me give you a couple just to help you understand where I'm going with this. What if we colonize space someday and we have to live without gravity? Would I still have to wear a skirt to sing in the choir? You see where I'm going with the hypotheticals? We may get there. When we get there, we'll figure it out. You live now, you live here, and you live for real. So we don't have to figure out all the hypothetical situations. Let's just look at our Bible, figure out what does it say for me, for now, for my family, for here. You live for real. If everyone goes into full-time ministry, then who's going to be the plumbers and the engineers? You've heard that one before. I'm preaching and I'm trying to preach so that the young people and old people, whoever it is, can hear God's call and surrender to God's call for their life. And now I don't believe everybody is going to be called into ministry. But if everybody was called into ministry, it wouldn't hurt. Okay, so here's the hypothetical. Pastor, you keep preaching and hoping that young people be called into ministry, but what if? If everybody's called into ministry, who's going to fix my plumbing? Okay, it's not going to happen in our lifetime probably, but if it did, that would be awesome. All right, here's another hypothetical. Pastor, if everyone in the world gets saved, would I still be required to go soul winning to be a Sunday school teacher? Okay, you see the absurdity in this. And so many times when we start talking about personal standards, personal biblical standards, so many times these types of questions come up. Listen, don't worry about all of those things. Just let's get into the Word of God. Let's find out, what does God say? What applies to me now? What do I need to work into my life so that I can live a life pleasing to God? You live for real. You need rules for real life. And if your personal standards have a firm foundation in the Bible, then when your reality changes, you'll be able to adapt your standards and still live in a way that's pleasing to God. Because your standards, the rules for living, are based on the Bible. You can adapt those standards. When I said reality changing, did I just blow your mind right there? But listen, realities change. I'm not talking about Twilight Zone or anything. All you have to do is get married. You don't have to go through a portal into another dimension. Realities change. The moment you say, I do, your life changes. You enter a new reality that you never realized existed. All right, so we can go off and really joke about that one, but let me give you a serious life change that happens when you get married. When you were a single man, it was okay to have dinner with a single lady. In fact, it was a good idea. You might have even called it a date. Once you're married, your reality changed. Spending a meal talking to a single lady is a terrible idea. Now, Mike Pence came out, our vice president, he came out and said, I don't eat lunch, I don't eat meals with other ladies, just my wife. Oh, the people attacked him for it. They mocked him for it. They made fun of him for it. But he understands, and that's his personal standard. It's a great idea. Now, spending a meal talking to the one lady you are married to is a great idea. It's something you should do often, and you can still call it a date. When you make the promise to forsake all others and keep me only unto thee, that's what our vows say. Forsake all others and keep me only unto thee, so help me God. No, that's a different vow. You make this promise. I'm going to leave everybody else, and I am only going to keep myself to you. I'm forsaking all others. Your standards for relationships with members of the opposite sex will need to be updated. No, the Bible doesn't change. Your life stage has changed. Your reality has changed. So now you have to say, what does the Bible say not to single people, but now what does the Bible say for married people? You see what I'm saying? Your standard can change. Your standard can adapt. But the values that it's based on doesn't change if it's based on values. Your personal biblical standards are rules that help you make God-honoring decisions in real life. So personal biblical standards, they need to be personal. They need to be standards. But here's the big one. They need to be biblical. They need to be biblical. Personal biblical standards are personal applications of Bible teaching. Personal biblical standards are Bible principles in action. Personal biblical standards are the ways we make our life line up with the teaching of the Bible. These are good. We need these. Biblical standards aren't based on tradition. Now, biblical standards may be traditional. For example, a child grows up in a Christian home and adopts the same biblical standards as his parents. They could be traditional values because they're handed down from my parents, but they're biblical first. The importance here is they biblical standards aren't biblical because they're based on tradition. They're biblical because they're based on the Bible. Now, it's not wrong to have traditional standards, but you got to understand, they're different than traditional standards. If I do something because my parents did it, or I do something because my teacher did it, it may be a good thing. It may be a bad thing, but it may be a good thing. But it's still not a biblical standard. Let's don't put as much weight on a traditional standard as we would on a biblical standard. Traditions are things handed down from other people. Biblical standards come from the Word of God. Sometimes traditional standards guide us in areas where the Bible is silent. Let me ask you, do you have any traditional standards or traditions that guide your actions? You do. You most likely do. This is something that we do. Do you read the Christmas story before you open gifts on Christmas morning? Okay, so that's a tradition. God doesn't command it. I think it's a good idea. It's not a sin not to. It's a tradition. Our church has a Thanksgiving service on Tuesday before Thanksgiving instead of having a service on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It's our tradition. God doesn't command it. God doesn't command against it. God's most direct command about going to church is to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Our Thanksgiving service is based on a traditional standard. It's not based on a biblical standard. You see the difference there. Do you know of any traditions that aren't based on the Bible that have caused confusion or even false teaching? There are some. In fact, there's a lot. Praying to dead saints or ancestors is a tradition that guides people's actions, but it's not based on the Bible. Biblical standards don't come from tradition. They come from the Bible. Now, biblical, traditional standards and standards you get from good people, that doesn't make them wrong because they're not from the Bible. Just understand, that's not a biblical standard. It's okay to have. It's just not a biblical standard. And if we understand the difference, it's going to help us. Biblical standards aren't based on popular opinion. Now, it's not wrong to have standards based on popular opinion, but they're different than biblical standards. What's popular opinion? Popular opinion depends on who influences you. What's popular in your circles of influence? Now, it may be right, it may be wrong, but the point is, if it's not a biblical standard, if it's a popular opinion, it's because everybody else is doing it. It could go either way. Now, most of the time, that's not going to be a good thing. Because if we're basing it on what all the other people around are doing, a lot of times all the other people around aren't going the same direction we ought to be going. So, let me give you some examples. What's popular in your family might be different than what's popular at the public high school. Okay? So, a popular opinion can be good. All right? Let me give you an example. We like conservative Christian music at our house. It's a popular opinion. If I was to ask the people in our home, what kind of music do you like? For the most part, we're going to get the very, very similar type of answers. This is the kind of music that we like. Popular opinion can be good. That doesn't make it biblical, but it could be good. But did you realize a popular opinion could be bad? I hope you understand that. We believe, now I'm not saying this is what we believe, but a certain group and in this circle of influence, they would say this. We believe a woman has the right to murder her baby. That's popular opinion, and that is a standard. And it's wrong. Both of these are popular opinions in very different circles of influence. If your family likes conservative Christian music, you might make a rule. That's the standard, right? You might make a rule that you're not going to play gangster rap in your house, right? Because you like conservative Christian music. In that case, your good standard, it's a good standard, but it's based on popular opinion. We all live in a country whose Supreme Court has said that it's legal for a woman to murder her own child as long as it hasn't been born yet. That's insane. It's wrong. In this case, a bad standard has been made based on what? Popular opinion. It may not be the majority opinion, but it was popular enough to become a law. If you have a group of friends and you all get together to study the Bible together once a week, their popular opinion might be good. Picture this. You get together with a group of friends for Bible study once a week. Maybe it's your Sunday school class. Maybe they have the opinion that a Christian should go to church every week. That's a good opinion. It's even a good standard. But just the fact that it's popular doesn't make it right. Popular standards are good if they're also biblical standards. Are you following me tonight? I know this is a lot of information. Stay with me just a little bit longer, okay? And we're almost to the finish line. It's not wrong to have personal standards that are in line with popular opinion. All right? If popular opinion lines up with the Bible, it's not wrong to have the personal standards that everybody else has the same personal standards in this group or in this circle. But it doesn't make it a biblical standard. You see what I'm saying? Just because everybody that comes to our church wears, I don't know, I'm not even going to say a brand name, all right? But if we all wore the same thing and we all came to church, just because we all wore the same brand doesn't mean that brand is right or wrong. It just means everybody's doing it. So it doesn't, just because a good group of people are doing something that's right doesn't make it a biblical standard. If you have a group of, well, let me skip that. Popular opinion changes constantly. This is important. If I'm basing my standards, my rules for my life on popular opinion, I'm going to have to keep changing my rules for living. Because the people around me, the popular opinion, it's going to keep on changing. Many of our personal standards really are nothing more than trying to fit in with popular opinion. And this is where I want to challenge you a bit. If other people that I like and respect do it, then I'll do it. That's basing our standards on popular opinion. If the people that I want to be like don't do it, then I won't do it. It's a convenient way to live. It's the best way to make sure that people like you. Because you do what they do. And really, here's what it is. It's like being a spiritual chameleon. You know what a chameleon is? The lizards that change color. One section of your life has people in it that think, dress, act, talk, and believe one way. So when you're with them, you think, act, dress, talk, and say that you believe like them. A different section of your life has people with different set of values, so you match them when you're with them. And here's what happens. Everybody likes you because you fit in with this group, you fit in with this group, but you can be miserable because you really don't know who you are. You become this, that like this group, you become like this group. You always have to be on guard to make sure you give the right answer to the right group. At church, you're one person, but at school, you're a completely different person. Why? How do we get there? Because our personal standards are based on popular opinion. If your personal standard is based on popular opinion, it's going to depend on what group you're with. So you're one person at school and you're one person at church. You're one person at work and you're one person at church, or maybe even a different person when you're at home. At work, you're one person, but at home, your coworkers wouldn't recognize you because your personal standards are based on popular opinion. We're almost done, but let's apply this to church for a moment. Churches do the same thing. They make standards or decisions based on popular opinion. But churches don't call it that. They call it staying relevant. It was a big movement that came through probably in the probably the late 90s. And a lot of churches, they'd even put it on their sign, relevant service. What did it mean? It means we are basing what we do on what everybody likes, popular opinion. I'm having a hard time saying this. I've said it so many times. Popular opinion, here's what it did. It brought rock bands into our churches. Why? Because that's what people wanted to hear. I read, somebody gave this book to me and I read it. Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Church. I keep it in my office. The Purpose Driven Church. Here's what it did. It described a type of church that did what was popular to bring as many people to church as possible. That was their goal. I'll bring as many people to church as possible, church in California, and we're going to do that by doing whatever people around us want. The church band not only played Christian rock music, but it also played just straight-out rock music. Why? Because that's what people wanted to hear. They called it staying relevant or being relevant. They still do. And here's the sad thing. So many churches across our country said, look, that church is growing. It's exploding in growth. So let's do like that. Let's do what they did. Let's copy that. They call it a model. Let's copy that model because a lot of people are coming to their church and they base their standards upon that popular opinion. Now, the Bible gives principles for all kinds of things. Clothes, food, entertainment, friends. The Bible gives principles for alcohol, for marriage, for dating, for finances. The Bible gives principles for tattoos and music and education and parenting and borrowing money and lending money and friendship and God's will and missions and soul winning and counseling and leading and following. The Bible gives principles for healthy living. What do we need to do? We need to learn to apply Bible principles to our lives in our time. We're just to the end. Listen careful. Times change, but truth never changes. If we will get that, it's going to help us so much. Styles change, but truth never changes. Cultures change, but truth never changes. Let this sink in. If something was morally right last year, it's still morally right this year. Our culture is changing so very quickly in so many ways. We would have never, when I was a kid, I'd have never thought we were trying to figure out which bathroom a person should use. I thought that was just an obvious thing that ever. No, but we're so confused and our culture is changing so fast. But just because the culture changed, listen, truth doesn't change. And when we base our personal standards, we make rules for ourselves, for our personal living, based on the truth of God's word, truth never changes. If it was right last year, it's morally right this year. Let me stretch that out a little bit. If something was morally right 3,500 years ago, when God gave the Ten Commandments, then it's still morally right today. And it's going to be morally right next year. Here's what we like to say. Oh, this is the 21st century. Come on, it's 2019 now. Get with it. But wait, just because the time changes and just because it's a new year doesn't mean things have to change. If God said it was right back then, it's right now. If God said it was wrong back then, it's still wrong now. Every Christian needs to develop their own personal biblical standards. It ought to be something that you develop from the Bible. You get in the Word of God and you find out, what does the Bible say? How can I apply it to me now and here in real life? That's personal biblical standards. Father, I pray that you would help us as we begin this journey as a church to build our very own personal biblical standards. Lord, I pray that we would be students of your Word. And I pray that we would study, and I pray that you would teach us. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us a soft heart. And as you say, this is an area that we need to change in, Lord, I pray that you would just give us the grace and the courage to make those changes that we need to make. Lord, I pray that you would guide us and help us to make some rules for ourselves from your word that will help us to live a life that pleases you.